that really has been at the heart since what happened on that day.
Yeah.
The immediate thought of your mother, the mother of the bombers, and now you're working with mothers. Is that your way of thinking in terms of it does start in the home and the home is where it needs to be dealt with?
Yeah. Having spoken and supported those who've been at risk of radicalisation and even those who've been radicalised, large majority of those state that actually the signs were visible within the home. They were coming home with very extreme views and espousing these views to their parents, specifically their mothers. And so I do have to say that there are signs that can be picked up where some might say, oh, well, there might be small minor signs, but the signs are still there. So if the signs are there, what is very, very important, and even if the signs are not there, what is important is education. That's key. And this is exactly what Muslim mothers tell us. We need the knowledge, we need the education, and we also need the confidence. We need the confidence to be able to engage with our child so that we don't actually push them into the extremist corner. We want to be able to engage them in a manner that we bring them on board, and that's exactly what our Web Guardians does. It provides these mothers with the education, with the knowledge, it exposes them to the issue. Time after time, when we've delivered our Web Guardians program, we actually expose the issue of online radicalization to these mothers. If I can't describe the reaction within the room, but just literally their jaws drop open, they are shocked. Some are even in tears that, first of all, this material is there, but second of all, their children may come across this material.
So tell me a bit more about the program. What format does it take?
Without going into too much detail, it basically is a long journey. It's not a one session whereby we'll go in and work with mothers for 2 hours. No, it doesn't work like that because they won't take anything away. This is a long journey. It happens over a period of time. And it also means we build a relationship. We're providing and building their confidence. So we work with them over a number of sessions in a confidential, private space. And it's very practical. So it's literally having the mothers at computers and giving them the practical skills and making sure that when they leave that place, they are equipped. And as I said earlier, it gives her the skills to go online. It exposes her to the issue, but equips her with the counter-narrative. So, for example, saying with their young one, well, if you feel this way about an issue, if you feel this way about Syria, what can we do? Well, we can raise funds and work or volunteer with those who are working on the ground with Syria. We can campaign online. We can petition. There are a number of things that can be done. And so it equips the mother, but also she's then able to equip her child as well. And whilst I'm talking to you, I remember one specific mother saying that her child, after the program, she found that her child was very frustrated and angry about the Palestinian and Israeli issue. And she had the confidence to engage, she had the confidence to have that dialogue with her child after finding out that they'd been viewing material, but to engage and have that dialogue whereby now actually that child is channeling their grievance by going on demonstrations, by making a difference that way. But the mother also goes with her child. And specifically, this mother saying, not only do I have a mother and son relationship, we are friends. I just can't emphasize how well our program has worked and how it's made that difference. It's made such a difference. And in fact, again, whilst talking to you, I'm remembering one specific mother who's lost her children. And I say children because it's more than one child. To ISIS, both are dead. And she said, had I had known about your Web Guardians program, because she found out through a friend who'd been on it, she said, had I known and be part of it, I probably would have been able to stop my sons and they probably will still be alive with me, which is very, very sad.
You talk about its success here in London and the different projects you've run here. Something I'd never heard about from, you know, being in Manchester. I was surprised to hear from yourself that, you know, it isn't actually being taken up in the North with its success rate.
Well, you're surprised. We're as surprised as you that it's not being taken up. It's not being taken up to equip grassroots Muslim mothers to make that difference, to take ownership of the issue and nurture their children. We're as surprised as you are, I'd probably say even more so. And it's and my next thought, I should say, question is, why isn't it being taken up by regions in the North? That's a question I would like to pose to the individuals out there. Well, actually, why are they not taking up this program?
Who should be taking it up? Who are you speaking to when you say that?
I would probably say those in the local authorities. My question is, well, why aren't you taking up this Web Guardians program? And I believe they know about it, but why have they not taken it up?
We're seeing, you know, cases in our region, quite a lot of cases in Manchester, Lancashire, yeah, where youngsters have become radicalised and either travelled or 14-year-old's even been, he's admitted that he planned an attack in Australia.
Yeah, that's what's really concerning. You can imagine, as well as a survivor of the 7/7 terrorist attack, that's even more concerning. I've been through that terrorist experience. I have seen what I saw that day. It will be etched in my mind forever, literally. And so for me, it's even more concerning to hear when the news breaks that actually there is someone, there's a young person who's travelled over to Syria who's then become part of ISIS. It's even more concerning having been through and survived the 7/7 terrorist attacks. But also, what's also concerning is actually, I know we're talking about up north, but there are areas in the UK who were offered our Web Guardians programme. Tower Hamlets, Brent, were offered our Web Guardians programme. They did not take up the programme. What happened? We had the girls leave from Tower Hamlets. We had a case from Brent. I don't want to be hearing that we are losing more young British people travelling over to Syria to be part of ISIS. I don't want to be having conversations with mothers who've lost their children, whose lives have been torn apart, who are distraught, who are cut off from wider society, but realistically also then cut off from the Muslim community. I don't want to be having those conversations, to be in those distressing situations with them. It's so distressing. And I don't want to also be hearing we are losing our young British people. And so ultimately, it comes back to the point of, well, actually, there is a programme that works. Why is it not being taken up by the North?
What reaction do you get from young people when you speak to them, I guess, about your story, you know, in what you've been through?
So not only do we deliver our Web Guardians programme, I do travel across the UK working with schools and teachers, but specifically young people, and talking to them about my 7/7 experience, and in colleges and universities as well. But they are taken aback, especially in schools. They are taken aback to meet someone, first and foremost, who survived the experience. But I've noticed with Muslim children and Muslim young people, they're taken aback even more, because they're talking to someone who survived 7/7, but then they're talking to someone who is a Muslim, who survived the 7/7 experience. But for someone who has gone through 7/7, but who does not have that hate there. And what I mean by that is, I survived 7/7, but I don't have hatred. What I have is this passion to make that difference, because it comes back, like I said, to the point is, we lost 52 people, hundreds were injured, but also those mothers, those four mothers lost their children. But what I have is that passion, and this is what really, when I'm talking to young children, they say, well, actually, do you know what? You've gone through that, but you've taken that experience to make that difference, and you don't have that hatred there. And they then start thinking themselves, well, if we have a frustration or if we have a grievance, why don't we channel that positively like Sajda has?
That must have a positive impact on the youngsters that you meet that are troubled, that have maybe gone down the wrong path, that you meet through the programme. Does that open their eyes?
Yeah. It opens their eyes to think that actually she could have easily taken her 7/7 experience and hated. I could have easily done that. But no. I've taken my 7/7 experience and actually worked with affected communities to listen to them, to try and understand, to make that difference. Because ultimately, I don't want us to experience another 7/7, and I don't want to have to hear that we have lost another young British person to Syria, to ISIS, to potentially then also hear the sadness, the distress in a mother who's lost her child.
It's interesting to see how 7/7 impacted your life, not only on that day, but the direction. Because I know you have your own children now, something maybe that you may not have done, I don't know, but it has just changed your outlook completely.
It 7/7 changed my life 360 degrees. I remember, like I said earlier, speaking to you, being down there, stuck down in that tunnel for the 45 to 50 minutes, I was remembering my loved ones. I was thinking, I haven't got married, I haven't had children, I haven't travelled the world, I haven't seen this, I haven't done that. Coming out at 7/7 alive, 10 years on, I've got married, I've got two kids. I'm laughing because I've got two kids, but they're at an age where they are demanding right now. But it's changed my life. One minute, I might be liaising with a grassroots Muslim mother. The next minute, I'll be probably liaising with her child. The next minute, I'll have to liaise with a mainstream agency. The next minute, I will have to then liaise with another user who wants help. And then I may be meeting with a minister. I may be meeting with a head of this department, etc. It's just everything and anything you can imagine. But why? Because I have a passion in this, having gone through what I've gone through on 7/7. The passion that I have has meant that actually I have, in a way, neglected my own family to help other families.
How much has that helped you though? Because I know you spoke of in the aftermath of what happened, not only having the flashbacks and dealing with what you saw and what you went through, the thoughts of why, and the thoughts of this was four men from from your religion that did this. How much has that helped you kind of channel that, I guess, into getting something positive out of it?
It's driven me even more. I would say it's driven me more because finding out that they were a handful of Muslim males from my faith who basically, in a way, tarnished my faith has driven me more to say that's not what Islam is about. It's not about violence. It's not about what happened on 7/7. It's not about killing innocent lives, maiming people. That's not Islam. So in a way, it's driven me and driven me to highlight to wider society that that is not Islam.